Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This podcast is also a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. I created Better Leaders, Better Schools because I was fed up of not having deep conversations, vulnerable, authentic conversations about school leadership. And that's why you keep coming back week after week. You listen to this podcast as an investment in your own leadership development. If you would like to invest in the production of Better Leaders, Better Schools, I have really good news. It's extremely affordable. $1 or $2 a month will go very far and make a big impact. At $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every 60 days. To become a patron, it's easy. Just click the link in the show notes, become a patron. Thank you for investing in yourself and thank you for investing in this podcast. Thank you for listening every week. Let's get this show started.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
We need more genius hour. We need more makerspace. We need more time for our kids to explore and find their passions. I think subjects and classes sometimes lock us in to a particular, it's standardization. It locks us into these requirements. So instead of adding classes, I'm going to remove them so that we're building things more on essential questions, project-based learning. We can do all of those discipline areas within that.
Well, ladies and gents, may I introduce to you Amy Haven.
Hi there, Daniel. Great to be with you.
Thank you, Amy. We met through LeadUp Chat, and you've just been such a great contributor on Twitter and then in our Voxer group. And I said, I just need to connect with Amy as soon as possible. And I'm honored that you're here. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I just really appreciate everything that everyone really brings to my life and furthering who I am as a leader. So thank you, Daniel.
Absolutely. Amy, let's start here. What inspired you to pursue a career in education?
Well, it all really started with my husband. My husband inspired me. He went to school to be a teacher. I did not. I actually was a musician and a communications major in college. And I had all the plans in the world to go into advertising. After I graduated from college, met him, we were engaged to be married, I had no idea what I was going to do because he was a teacher. So we moved to a small town in Indiana. And for whatever reason, I was asked to substitute teach in a middle school home economics class. I was teaching seventh graders how to sew. And honestly, I immediately fell in love working with kids. And each day was different. It was a challenge. It was a joy. And so I decided, and we had had a long talk, that I was going to go back to school after my bachelor's degree to get my teaching license in English, because that was a passion of mine. So I found an accelerated program. And I wanted my own classroom as soon as I could have one. So it's just been full speed ahead since then. I taught English for 8 years, and then this is my 6th year in administration.
What made you want to make that shift from English teacher to admin?
Again, it all boils down to my husband. I blame everything on him. He actually, when we lived in California, let me take you back a minute here. We worked in a small town in Indiana for a couple of years. I was substitute teaching and going back to school to get my English teaching license. And once I was finished, we decided to go to a job fair just to kind of see what was out there. It was just the two of us. We didn't have any kids at the time. And we went to a job fair and met Ben. And Ben was from Pasadena, California. He grew up a Hoosier. And he always came back to Indiana to recruit teachers.
How about that?
He loved Indiana teachers and would come every year to find young teachers, take them out to California. And so we were actually offered a job right away It was kind of crazy. We went home after the interview, and it was a pretty intense interview. He drilled us. And so we walked away thinking, okay, we are not going out to California, but that was a really good experience for us. Kind of getting back into the groove of interviewing. You really have to kind of prep yourself. But by the time we got home, Ben had already left us a message offering us positions. So we decided to take a chance and we moved out to California for a couple of years. And it was there that he was inspired by someone he worked very closely with who was an administrator and decided to pursue his administrative career. And after he did that and I saw what he was doing, I saw the impact that he was having on a greater, you know, throughout the school. It's not just in a classroom. Now it's throughout the school and building that school culture. I decided that I wanted that impact as well. And so that's when I decided. So I've just kind of followed in his footsteps in a lot of ways. So right now he's a high school principal and I'm an elementary principal. And we work in the same district, believe it or not, very small district. It works out very well though.
Okay.
And we've just learned how to balance between, you know, our personal lives, our professional lives, and keep it that way.
Why don't you stay there and give the listeners some tips on how to balance. And let me give you a little background too. My wife and I, she's actually very similar to you. She studied communication at University of Dayton, got a bachelor's, master's at Dayton, and then at U of I where we met, she completed her PhD in communication. She worked at a veterans hospital serving veterans and was just frustrated with the lack of application between her research and actually making it happen. Was offered a position at the school where I ended up transitioning to at Brooks, where I'm at now. And we almost killed each other after working in the same building for 4 years. And at her retirement party from our school, I stood up and I said, Erica, I'm going to miss fighting with you in the morning, fighting on the way to school, at school, and on the way back. And our situation a little different, right? Because we were actually in the same school. Mm-hmm. And you know, I wanted to have dates for lunch. I wanted to meet her at lunch and, you know, and she wanted to work and have some distance. But how do you balance that? Because it was very, very hard for us. We were always talking about work and that's probably a really, really bad thing.
Well, you know, it's funny, Daniel. My husband and I actually did work in the same building. He was my principal when I was an English teacher for a number of years. It was hard because I was a teacher. He was the principal. And so I kind of assumed the role of already being on what you might say the dark side.
Yeah.
And so that was tough, but it really taught us how to work with others in a very professional way. Get to know them on a personal level, but also, you know, we're here for the kids.
Right.
And I think as long as we've had that at our forefront, we have been able to balance that very well. I don't have time on it, to be honest. I'm a mom of three boys, wife of a high school principal and an elementary principal myself. You know, I don't have time to think about even being balanced. It's just go, 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 go all of the time. And yeah. It's just nonstop. So what we've decided is, and we've had this talk, that we just need to be present where we are.
Gotcha.
So if we're at home, we're present. We're present at home. We're with each other. We're with our boys. And when I'm at school, I'm fully present there. And so that's the only way. I can say I'm probably not very good at balancing it all. I do just love my work. I love my job. I love what I do. And so I do fully involve myself in as many aspects as I can, which is why, you know, I'm a connected educator. That itself takes time mm-hmm. because you want to reach out and you want to grow and get better. That takes time. You just have to be present. For me, you have to be present in those moments and really capture those moments and make them count. And that's what we've really tried to do. Our family is school. Our boys have grown up in school.
Yeah.
They have grown up going to everything with us. And that's just a part of our lives. They love it. We love it. And so far, we've been able to make it work. Now, is it all roses? No, there's some thorns in there every once in a while, but you know, we make it work.
Amy, I really appreciate that answer, and thanks for being transparent. Everybody says that they struggle with balance, but they never necessarily have a solution on the podcast. I've been thinking of ditching that question because everyone's like, balance? What is that? But you introduced something new, which is why I'm so thankful I have you as a guest. You brought up the idea of being present. Can you unpack that for our listeners a little bit and define what it means to you, and how do people actually practice being present in the moment?
Well, I'm still working on it, to be quite honest, Daniel. My one word, and this is something new for me this year, is to decide on one word and really make that my focus for this year. Well, I chose focus because for me to be fully present, when I'm at home, it's going to be about what's going on in my home as much as possible. That means putting my phone down and having a conversation with my kids. That means putting work away and picking up a Nerf gun and having a Nerf gun fight with my kids.
Yes.
Going sledding with my kids, talking with my husband, sitting down at the table, reading the newspaper together. I've got this page, you'll get it next, sort of thing. So for me, it's just putting all of my attention into that moment. And then at school, it's the same exact way. So I have to separate myself. My husband is over there, and here's another hard thing. My boys go to my school.
Okay.
So again, I'm the principal there, and I have taught my boys the second they were in that school. When we are here at school, my name is Mrs. Haven, and I am your principal. So making sure that there's that separation between mom and principal. So I'm fully present as a principal when I'm at that school. And I am about every single one of those kids, all 430 of them, when I am there at that school. And that's what I focus my attention on. So I have to really prioritize my day. What I love is some of the tools that I use to help me prioritize my day. I'm a tech junkie.
Yeah.
So I love Google Keep, and it has been a lifesaver for me. It's on my phone, it's on my computer, but I've literally categorized my Google Keep into home and professional growth and my priorities to do this week so that I can keep them all straight and I can make sure that I stay focused. So I'm still working on it. I am not a pro by any means, but I'm really working hard to be present in those moments so that I can just make sure that those times are quality times.
I really like that too. So, forget about that balance. Practice being present. And the time you do have, maximize that time. Make sure that it's quality time. That's beautiful. Amy, how would you describe your leadership style and how did you develop it?
Well, I believe very strongly in collaboration and shared leadership. I know there's going to be aspects in which I need to make quick decisions or maybe decisions that might not be the most popular but are best for kids. But in the end, I truly believe that, we're all in this together. I'm an educator. I'm not a principal. I'm an educator. And in order to move a school forward for kids, we have to do that together. So I lean on my team. I have many teams in my school so that we can focus on particular aspects of what we're trying to improve. And then we work together to make the best decisions together. And I also believe this is a way to build a very strong culture within your school, very positive, again, that we're talking, that we're open about everything that we're sharing and we're doing so that we can have that positive forward movement together. I also really believe very strongly in building leaders within our buildings. Yes. One person cannot do it all. And I'll tell you, that's probably my worst mistake because sometimes I do try to do it all. But I have to keep reminding myself, no, we need to build leaders within our buildings, because that's how we're going to maximize the potential that we have in front of us. And one example that, I can say that's happening right now is we're in the process of building a makerspace in our school. It's very exciting. We gutted our computer lab last summer. We built it into this flexible learning space. And I've had many ideas of what to turn it into. I've, being a connected educator, I've seen this maker movement just grow into this amazing, and I visited, you know, makerspace concepts, I guess, at conferences. And so I had this idea in my head, but I knew if I just went and did it, you know what, no one's going to believe in it. Nobody's going to buy into it. And it's just going to sit there as this really cool space that no one uses. And so I needed a team. And together, we just talked. And I said, you know what, we've got this amazing space. What do we do with it? What do we want for kids in here? And through the team, that's what we came up with. We did that together. And so there's a lot of buy-in into that process. You know, when you pull together that team, then you can really make it into what you want it to be. You can shape it and you can mold it a little bit more. But again, it's got to come from our other leaders because that's where it's most powerful.
Amy, were you surprised by any of the ideas shared within that collaborative team?
They were amazing. Their ideas completely surpassed anything that I could have dreamed. And that's what's so cool about a collaborative leadership style and that shared leadership is that the team, those leaders that are built within, will completely blow your mind. And, you know, now I take a look at it. We're going to be rolling it out to staff this week so that they play as well. I want our staff to really buy into this. So we're going to give them an opportunity to play and try everything out. And then we're going to roll it out to our kids after we get feedback from the staff. So we really are trying, you know, this process, making sure that it all works. But wow, I was blown away when one of my staff members said, hey, Amy, can I write this grant for a little bit? Absolutely. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah.
And she did it. She knocked it out of the park. We got the grant. And we have this amazing library of little bits sitting in our makerspace now. You know, those are the opportunities that you really have to take a hold of. And it starts with that power of that word yes. Saying, absolutely, you try that. Absolutely, you go after that. Because that's how we get others to get excited about what's happening in our school. If you keep shooting them down and saying no, then we're just not going to go anywhere. Give that opportunity, take that risk, and let's give it a try.
Can you paint a picture of what the makerspace looks like so we can all visualize it?
Well, the room itself is, again, like I explained, a very flexible learning space. So all of the furniture within the space moves in any kind of configuration that you can possibly think of. The team has put together four stations. So they're kind of categorized. We have a builder station, which has cardboard, blocks, Legos. We're going to be building catapults and bridges and you name it, anything the kids can create there. We have an art station. So there's lots of crafty supplies. Then we have a games and puzzle station. So we're just thinking about games that kids can play together, putting out a great big 2,000 piece puzzle and having kids work on it over time. And then our last station is the tech and engineering exploration station, where we have Little Bits, we have Spheros, we have a Lego Mindstorm robotics kit. And then we're going to hopefully grow that area so that we can be working on coding on Scratch and Tinker Tech.
Oh, man.
I really want to get a 3D printer over the next few years. So it's just going to evolve. And what's really important in this space, and one of the things that the team really shared was this is our imaginings to start. But really, it needs to be very flexible and grow with the kids. They need to then, from this point forward, help drive what goes into this and what we start putting in so that they can create and they can design themselves.
Love it. That makerspace sounds incredible, and I might have to check that out at some point too.
It is very exciting.
So Amy, you said that one of your worst leadership mistakes is trying to do it all by yourself, if I heard you correctly. Can you describe a time when you tried that, and what did you learn from that experience?
Well, I tell my staff I make mistakes all the time, but I do think, you know, in one particular instance, trying to do it all myself or, you know, staying within myself, it really was jumping into this new procedure that I had for parent pickup. I was new to the school, but I did see, you know, a safety concern regarding our parent pickup procedure. I just implemented a procedure. Boom, done. And I can tell you on day one, it was a disaster. Very good job communicating. I did not do a very good job building buy-in into that. And so I forgot the conversations that I really needed to have. So I learned quickly, because this ended up causing me more time, you know, trying to fix those wrongs and tweaking that system in the long run. Now, you look at it now and it's beautiful. But if I would have just stopped, okay, we have a safety concern, pulled some people together, let's build some buy-in into this. Let's pull some parents in. Let's pull some staff members in. Let's talk about how we can make this better for everyone. Make sure that everybody's safe. That's how I would do it all over again. Again, it comes back to having those conversations, shaking them out, and doing this together. I can't do it by myself. And so, and that's, it was a terrible mistake because I did try to do it all by myself.
Amy, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself as a novice principal?
The same exact thing that I just, don't try to do everything. Build leaders within your organization, because that's how a legacy continues. It isn't about one person. It's about that collective whole that makes it happen. And so together, we can continue greatness, no matter who is leading that building. If you have a strong culture and you have a strong sense of where you're going, that will continue even if you are no longer there. So I do believe now in that building that capacity for leadership in others. And now I'm really trying to pour myself into it because I do know how important that is and how that makes a successful organization. So when I pour my energy into other people and building them, then the whole organization benefits from that.
And let's pause here for a message from our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. You know, I'm just like you. I'm a school leader that wants to get better every single day, and that's why I created a free gift for you called The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential. You can grab it today for free by texting the word UNLOCK NOW to 33444. That's UNLOCK NOW to 33444, and The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential will be delivered straight to your inbox. And now back to our show. What steps do you take to build capacity in your teachers and other admin?
I think it starts with building relationships with them, getting to know them, being positive and supportive of where they are, and having conversations. I think that's where you start. You have to get to know your people. You have to know their strengths, and you have to know their weaknesses in order to build them. So it takes time to get to know them. It takes an open door so that people feel like they can come to you and they can talk to you. I know a lot of people talk about having the open door, but it's also about getting out and talking with people outside of your door. So that's getting into classrooms. That's being visible everywhere. That's greeting kids as they walk in and standing there with your colleagues and greeting them together. So it's getting to know people, getting to know their strengths and weaknesses, and then building from there. And then that's how we really build teams, is knowing who will be a good fit for this team so that we can move that initiative forward.
That's good. Amy, is there a class that you'd like to add to our schools that's currently not taught? You can't pick STEM, no computer science, nothing that's trending. I want to hear a class that's invented by you.
Daniel, how about I step outside the box a little bit and I say that
yes,
I'm not going to add any more classes.
That's awesome.
In fact, I'm going to take them away.
Good. Which ones are you cutting?
I'm just cutting it all. You know, I think we've become very segmented and very compartmentalized in what we're doing in schools, and I want to take that away. I think we need more innovation. We need more genius hour. We need more makerspace. We need more time for our kids to explore and find their passions. I think subjects and classes sometimes lock us in to a particular, it's standardization. It locks us into these requirements. And so instead of adding classes, I'm going to remove them so that we're building things more on essential questions, project-based learning. We can do all of those discipline areas within that, you know, all of those pulling in all those areas into those big concepts and big ideas. I think our kids can really move forward from it. Even our youngest kids can benefit from this approach. It's the learning by doing, you know, technology can definitely empower us to teach our students to use their resources. We need to be there as a guide on how to do that. So I don't want to add anything else. I actually want to take it away and I want to blend everything together and into this one great, big, beautiful, essential question, project-based learning approach into what we do so that everything just meshes together like it does in society. And so when we lock ourselves into the bell to bell and, you know, you've got to have 90 minutes of reading and you've got to have 60 minutes of math and you've got, then we are actually taking the kids out of the real world. And because that's not the real world at all.
That answer is so incredible. That and the being present, you know, you've surprised me with a couple of these answers. Just love it. But it's so true. I mean, we're stuck in this traditional model of school. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. You know, I work in Chicago Public Schools. And one of the things that they keep doing is they keep adding graduation requirements, mm-hmm. but they're not taking any away. So yep. I'm like, all right, where does this fit?
Yep.
You know, and do you really want kids not learning a foreign world language? Because that's like one of the only things that has some flexibility, or mm-hmm. are we taking away the arts and the band? And, you know, they keep adding, but not taking away. And it's just, it just drives me nuts. So super answer from a super person. I appreciate that.
Oh, well, thank you.
So how do you avoid distractions at work, and what boundaries have you set up to ensure your success?
Chocolate and coffee all the way. This year, my word, like I said, is focus.
Okay.
And so I have it plastered all over my walls. The word focus is everywhere. I'm a post-it note freak. And so whether it's in Google Keep or an actual post-it note, my to-do lists keep me focused. And I honestly, kind of like I talked about before, I just don't have time for distractions. I just kind of block them out and keep moving forward so that we are growing and doing our best for kids. And as long as we have that at our forefront, you know, that's what I have to hang my hat on. I have my priorities for the week. My focus is at school. My focus is for professional learning, focus is for home. And I just keep it all in check as best I can, as best, you know, the best that we all can.
Google Keep, I used that quite a bit when I was on an Android. I moved over to an iPhone, but I think one of the things, like you, I love, absolutely love post-it notes. Did you see in the Voxer group at all when I took a picture of my whiteboard?
Yes, I did, and that was fabulous.
Do you mind if I just share that with the listeners really quick, the idea?
Oh, go for it. That was great.
So really, and you could color code it too, and I don't do that. I got to step up my game, but whenever I'm at a meeting or emails come in and, you know, just all these tasks that need to get done, the first thing I do is write it on a sticky note. And I've divided a very big whiteboard into three columns. I have a backlog where all the tasks go. Then I have a priority column. That's the middle column. And those are the most important things I need to focus on the day. And I actually just switched it. So I put Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I put a priority for each day. And that's like the one big thing I need to accomplish. And then my favorite, everybody's favorite column is the done column. That's the third column. And I just keep putting stickies over there. It's the best feeling. I'm a kinesthetic guy. I've always stood up in classes. I've stood up in the back of a room. Any lecture that goes on more than, you know, 40 minutes, I have to stand up or I'll go crazy or fall asleep,
mm-hmm.
or a combination of both. And I haven't taken down the done pile yet. I'm pretty sure the whiteboard is going to fall down, but it's just been a great strategy for me. And I really appreciate what you shared. We'll link up Google Keep. So if people haven't tried that, in the show notes, and maybe post-it notes too, if you guys want to try the strategy that works for me.
I love that idea. I loved that picture. It was very visual for me. And you know, I create my stack of post-it notes, but instead of moving them to a column, I take them, crumple them up, and throw them in the trash. So
that works too.
That's how I take care of those.
It's almost as good as chocolate.
Almost, but not quite.
Not quite. That's right. Amy, how do you want to be remembered as a school leader?
Well, Daniel, I've never really been asked that. You know, I guess I really haven't thought about it that much, because I just do. I do what I do for kids, and because that's what matters. Not really for myself, or, you know, how I want to be remembered. I just want those kids to know that I care about them as people, that I care about them, that we want to have an impact on their lives, and that they can fulfill their dreams. I want to build an environment where their individuality is treasured, and that the decisions that we make as a team, that those aspects, that's what I envision being carried out, so that they have the opportunities and can grow into those wonderful human beings that they know, that I know that they are. You know, I hope that I live that mission every day. And so it's not about me being remembered. It's about or what I want people to remember about me. I want to do what I can for them and what's best for them.
What's one book every principal should read right now, and why?
I would say one book that I think I've read it twice now, is Start With Why. Is it Sinek?
I've heard it a million different ways. Yeah.
Start With Why. This book, and even the TED Talk. So if you don't have time to read the book, definitely watch the TED Talk. It really pushed my thinking, because we're so fast paced in schools. There's so much going on. We often get stuck in that what and how. What are we going to do? And how are we going to do it? But we really do need to take a step back and begin with why. Why is this important for our school? That what and how will come later. And that's why this is such a powerful book. It's not a book, you know, just about schools. And that's why, again, I also love it. It's about leadership. So if I think if we can truly define our why is there school? Then we can begin to transform what we're doing in schools for a better future.
And what do you like to do for fun?
Oh, I hang out with my kids. We have Nerf gun wars in our house, and we play techie games together. My boys like to try to teach me how to play PlayStation. I'm not very good at it, but my boys try. And we're big sports fans. So we enjoy football. We enjoy basketball. My boys wrestle. They play soccer. So we're, you know, when we're not at school, we're involved with our boys. And that's what we love to do.
If you could pick a famous person, either present or past, who would you like to meet and why?
Wow. This is a tough question, because there isn't just one person who stands out among all the others. You know, here's what I would love to do. I would love to sit superior coaches, because I'm a big sports fan, and all around a table to talk. And I'm talking like Vince Lombardi, John Wooden, Coach K, Lou Holtz. So, you know, past and present, great coaches. And I just want to pick their brains on leadership, because they have dealt with adversity. I mean, talk about dealing with criticism all the time, been through it all, and still, no matter what, have led amazing teams to greatness. And so I just love to sit all of them down around a table and pick their brains and just ask and listen and just listen. Listen to the wisdom that flows out. That would be cool.
That is super cool. And, you know, I reach out to school leaders. I reach out to just leaders in other industries as well. And I appreciate that answer, because I haven't even thought to, you know, even if it's a slim chance, but to reach out to like real deal big time coaches and see, hey, can we just chat leadership and help school leaders out? So you gave me an idea. I thank you for that.
There you go.
We're going to the coaches in 2016.
You bet.
Is there a tech resource besides Google Keep that you leverage to be more effective at work?
Oh, I am a techie junkie, and my staff would agree. I cannot live without any of the Google apps for education. Google is literally integrated into everything that I do, from the apps themselves to the extensions that are sitting at the top of my browser. It's transformed how I communicate. You know, now I flip a lot of my staff meetings. And so I use Screencastify. I share that out. I'll upload them to YouTube and share that with my staff so that we're not spending time in meetings. I can cover basic information in a quick video and share it with them. You know, we collaborate on documents together. Oh my goodness, 5 years ago, I couldn't do that. And now I can send out an agenda to my leadership team and we can brainstorm the topics together. And not necessarily topics. I like to ask questions in my agendas now.
Oh, yeah. I remember you. Tell us more about that because that was a really good idea.
Well, you know, for years, I've always put together an agenda that's just, here's the topics that we're going to talk about. But then I get to thinking, you know, questions really bring out a lot more than just, this is how we're going to do things. I don't want meetings to become just a list of to-dos or, you know, housekeeping items. I want discussion. I want, when we come together, I'm going to make this a meaningful discussion. And I think the best way to do that is with questions. So now for my leadership team, we'll ask each other questions. So how can we do X, Y, or Z? Or what do you envision will be? And so these questions help drive our conversation a lot more, which is very exciting. I think our conversation has definitely become deeper since we've been doing that. So I love going back to Google. I love being able to collaborate in that manner because before it was a Word document and you were playing, you know, which saved version am I on now? Now we can collaborate together. We can ask questions together. We can share things in Google Classroom together. Coordinate our calendars. Everything has become so much easier. There's no excuse for it. So it's just transformed how I collaborate and I lead. And honestly, it makes leading by example so much easier. I don't ask anything of my staff that I am not willing to do myself. So if I want them to flip instruction, then I better be able to flip my leadership, to flip a meeting. If I want them to use Google Classroom, I'm going to use it with them as well. So everything I ask them to do, I'm going to be able to do too.
So I really appreciate those points, asking questions really to start a dialogue and not say like, this is how we're doing X, Y, and Z, but how could we accomplish X, Y, and Z? Mm-hmm. And the brain power, the collaboration from just that simple flip right there is so important. Also, the challenge to the listeners of Better Leaders, Better Schools, if we ask teachers to do something, you got to do it yourself. And so often, I don't know if we're just boneheaded administrators or what, or what I think it is, it's just so easy to default to the way it's done mm-hmm. or to lead in a top-down fashion because then I only have to do what I prefer doing. Mm-hmm. Try flipping some of your meetings and see what happens as a result. That was just an incredible idea as well. What were the challenges in flipping your meetings?
I started flipping meetings a couple of years ago. And, you know, the one thing that I kept going back to was, oh, are they going to watch this?
Yeah.
You know, you put a lot of time into building that video for them. And gosh, I hope they watch this, or I hope it makes sense. Or, you know, it's kind of one-sided. How do I invite conversation based on that video? You know, because it is just, here's a video, go watch it. So what I ended up doing, again, using Google, is I embed my videos or many of my videos in a Google form. And by doing that, after the video, I ask questions and not, you know, simple questions related to the video, but what other questions might you have or what are other ideas might you have? Do you have any concerns regarding this? And that way I can anonymously pull out the concerns or other ideas that might be that I might not have thought about. So I do this at the very beginning of every single year instead of, and you know, I'm going to think back to when I was a teacher and even when I was starting out as administrator, thinking to that first staff meeting, good golly, was it long? I mean, I would talk and talk and talk for hours. You know, if you really, you're, because you've got this requirement to go through and you've got to cover this, you've got to cover this, you've got to cover this. And along with that, you also want to inspire them. You want to share your vision. You want to get them excited for the school year. But how do you balance all of that? So I remember one year, my meeting, I think, with everything we had to cover and with the fact that I wanted to share my vision and get everyone excited, it was like 3 hours long. That's insane. Mm-hmm. They don't want to sit and listen to me that long. I don't want to talk that long, even though I do talk quite a bit. And I had to find a better way to share this because I needed them to go to their classrooms and focus on the kids, not what I was talking about. So it really pushed me to, and after reading some articles from like Peter DeWitt, was flipping those meetings, flipping my leadership. So I was taking care of those mandatory requirements, those how-tos in a video, sign off on it in my Google form, ask questions, give feedback. And then this year, my meeting was not more than an hour, maybe 45 minutes. And it was all about team building and vision. And that was awesome.
Good for you.
So it took me a few years to get there, but it was so worth it because this year, what I heard was that was one of the most inspiring first day meetings we've ever had, Amy.
Yes.
And that's what you want. That's what Absolutely. You want. That's why you flip.
That's so cool that you got that real-time feedback too, and just encourages you to refine it even more, make it even better, and serve your staff that way. When you flip, last question with these flip staff meetings, what's the typical length of a video?
I try to keep videos short. So I just finished two videos actually for this month. Every month I do what I call at-a-glance video. So February at-a-glance just went out today. That's just looking, you know, what are the big things that are happening in this next month, things to think about and whatnot. And I think the video itself was about 5 minutes. So I try to keep my videos 5 minutes or less when it comes to that quick information. At the beginning of the year, I had four different videos because I didn't want them to be long. And so I think my longest one was probably between 10, 15 minutes. It was a lot of staff handbook stuff, but I really strive to keep them shorter, and I will make multiple shorter videos versus one long one because I know teachers are busy and we need to make sure that we keep things concise so that they can watch them quickly and then move on to their next task.
And the app I guess you use, was that Screencastify?
Screencastify is actually an extension from Chrome. What extensions do is they just kind of lay on top of your Chrome browser and add functionality to what you're doing. So it saves when I do a video using Screencastify, and I usually put together a quick Google Slides presentation and then just screencast that. The beautiful thing about Screencastify is it saves automatically as an MP4 in my Google Drive. So then I can share it directly from there, or I can upload it to YouTube if I want to. So I love using Screencastify, and that's what I use for most of my videos.
So Amy, I'm so proud of you. You've made it to the end of the podcast. And I have a big question for you. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by your budget. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you create the school if you're given a blank slate and unlimited resources? What would be your top three priorities building this school?
Oh, wow. Well, I wouldn't create the school. My team would. Again, you know, I believe that anything we do is a collaborative effort. So, but with that said, I think we could focus on three main tasks, and that would be the learning spaces, the learning resources, and then the learning opportunities for both our students and our staff. So we need to make sure that we have a comfortable, safe learning environment, but also those spaces are flexible depending on the task. Makerspaces would be everywhere. You know, innovation, passion projects all over the place. And the resources would be built for project-based learning and a device in the hands of every single kid. I think flexibility is the key. So I'd want the team to really think about that and construct a vision for the learning opportunities that we'd want for both students and for staff.
what it boils down to those questions. What do you want kids to know and be able to do? And what are you going to do when they haven't learned it? How are you going to respond to those who already know it? And so that it doesn't fit into what we've always done. We, I think, worry so much about standards and tests nowadays. And I'm not saying that these are necessarily bad, but we have neglected some of the fundamentals of inquiry and critical thinking. And so when constructing my own school, I would really think about what kinds of opportunities we could provide kids to push their thinking and to develop their passions while still building the foundations and those skills that are necessary for them to be successful in the future. So it's a lot of questions that I would ask the team. So yeah, I wouldn't do it myself. It is a team, and I would really ask them about their learning spaces, those learning opportunities, and those learning resources that we can provide for our kids.
Amy, thank you for sharing your leadership insights with the Better Leaders. Is there any parting words of advice that you have for us, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, words of advice are say yes and listen. Actually, reverse those. Listen and then say yes. I think we can give our fellow colleagues and educators so much when we listen to them and believe in them and say yes, give that a try. And they really do have our kids at the heart of every decision that they make. And so I think it all boils down to listening and giving them those opportunities to try something new and different. And as far as contacting me, the best place would be Twitter at Amy Haven. And you can also check out my blog, which is amyhaven@blogspot.com.
Great. And we'll have that all linked up for the listeners if they want to get a hold of you or read your wonderful insights in your blog.
Better Leaders, thank you so much for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you, 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Amy. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Amy in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. On most mobile devices, you can tap on the cover art and the show notes page will magically appear.
Hey, Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Do you want to be awesome? I know you do. Please leave a 5-star rating and review for us. Click the podcast artwork and long press the show some love link. That'll bring up a page where you can leave a review. This helps the show stay relevant in iTunes and reach a wider audience that wants to become a better leader. If you'd like to connect with me, and I would love to connect with you, there are also links in the show notes. The blog and podcast has an audience in over 100 countries. Connect with me via email, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or the website betterleadersbetterschools.com.